Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
just the body punching?
I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually was crying there.
Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You're saying that Biggs was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So that you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely,
but I knew you were fucking cussing and taking those punches.
Deeply Nasty Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. It's the champ. He's sharing the champ. With the same champ. If it was Ali, why they could
It's the champ, ladies and gentlemen, TBV Podcast. We are back with some more breaking news from the rumor mill. News, rumors, and headlines is what we'll bring you whenever it breaks. And sure enough, the fight talks collapse as Kell Brook and Amir Khan are no longer in negotiations to fight. Khan feels he's the A-side. We'll find out how my co-hosts feel, who they feel is the A-side. We'll take phone calls, 1-425-569-5241, and find out how you feel, who's the A-side. You want to call us internationally, well, then you already know what to do. Hit us up by adding Nestor Gibbs on Skype. International callers, call absolutely free. Nestor Gibbs on Skype. We're going to go ahead and head on over to not so sunny California and Florida to talk to our co-hosts.
Boxing what's going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this side.
We're going to head on over to a doctor,
the Sunshine State.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
Well, it's not sunny over here, and Amir Khan's career is not really sunny right now because him taking knockout losses, getting knockout of the year contender candidates against Canelo, him having personal issues with his wife, who is a celebrity over there, and they, you know, are their celebrity couple. Obviously, they had some transgressions, and he's over there defending it. I think Amir Khan's career is kind of taking a big loss, but at the end of the day, he still is the A side. But how strong is that A side, right? Because A side is the term A side just means that you're the financial, I guess you have the financial advantage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you deserve 70-30. So we'll discuss that further.
Well, Matt, how do you feel on the situation and how's things going for you over there in California?
It seems to be dying down. Not as much rain, not as much flooding, so that's a good thing. And similar to what MD thinks, I do think that Amir Khan is the A-side. I think that's somewhat obvious as well just because of his name. I don't know. He's just a bigger star. And unfortunately, I don't think he's the better fighter, but he is the bigger star. And I also agree with MD that I don't think 70-30 is close to reasonable. 60-40 is much more reasonable, or even more like 55-45. You know, like I just do not see Amir Khan being this big-time A-star moneymaker anymore, especially in the UK. Not that he's not a star over there, but he has been fighting over there. You know, like at least Kell Brook defended his title over there a few times before, and, you know, fought Gennady Golovkin over there. You know, Amir Khan hasn't fought there. So I think that does hurt his stock a little bit in the UK, and that might affect negotiation in the future. But right now they're not negotiating, and we got to look to the future. And I think Amir Khan's going to fight some tune-up guy, and I think Kell Brook is sort of stuck, and he's probably going to end up fighting Errol Spence.
Now, I mean, when we spoke about doing this show and the news of it, you guys seemed a bit torn on who deserved what. I feel that Khan is just in calling himself the A-Sides, and I'm basing that solely off of his U.S. popularity and his U.S. pay-per-view sales. While Gennady Golovkin and Kell Brook did good numbers in the United Kingdom, I believe there were around 400. I'm hoping our producer gets some factual numbers this time so we can go based off the facts of what exactly each man did. But first and foremost, we need to divide the $70 that is the cost of a U.S. pay-per-view, and there's about 4.5, you know, purchases of a UK pay-per-view with that 70 US American dollars. You know what I mean? So to say that Brooke and Gennady did 400 and that Khan and Canelo did 600 or 300 or whatever the producer, excuse me?
Bloody Elbow reported that Canelo Khan did 460,000 pay-per-view buys in the US. That is the final number. I know under 600 K was first reported by ESPN relatively quick after the fight, but then reports came out and the number went down like usual. That happens with almost every pay-per-view. The number always drops a little bit from the first prediction.
Because Matt, sometimes when the number comes out early, they're doing it based on speculations and trends. Yeah. Yeah. So correct, they under 400, they do that to be safe. So sometimes it's lower. It's very rarely higher than what they expect at that point.
But 460K is the pay-per-view buy rate of Canelo Khan. I will look up now.
Just for good math, just to make it simple, we should round up to the 500. I mean, he's got 460. Let's round up to the 500 to make easy math. And then multiply that times 3.5 more pay-per-view buys so that it can be equal to the amount of money being spent in the UK. If you guys, the two of you, still want to use that as an argument, I feel Khan and Canelo did so well that Khan is a clear front runner for A-Side. Yes. Based on pay-per-view sales, based on U.S. television fights, based on social media following, just based on everything. I mean, really, to say that Brook holds a candle next to Khan in terms of A-Side, B-Side is ridiculous.
He has no belt. That's interesting to note. He has no belt. He is statistically probably going to be the underdog in that fight. So and it's also interesting to note that what did Liam Smith do? 300,000, right? 300,000. So we have to understand that the baseline of pay-per-views numbers is probably about 300,000 for Canelo. So he increased it that much because we all accept the fact that Canelo is the A side of Golovkin. So a lot of that is Canelo, not just Amir Khan. So I think that's interesting to factor in. And also we have to factor in.
You still need a dance partner. When Floyd fought Cotto, they did 1.5, you know?
Right, but
Martinez, they only did 500. So
who took a worse loss though, Ness? Who took a worse loss too?
I mean, Khan took a worse loss.
Exactly. And he fought a guy. Kell Brook fought a guy who, I mean, people weren't like. I guess people were. He fought a guy who is much bigger than him, and he got a broken orbital, and he was not. He didn't have gifts of him getting knocked out. So I think that's another factor going into the fight, that Amir Khan's coming off getting literally knocked the fuck out. And Kell Brook got his orbital broken by a bigger fighter, a fighter that he was more successful, I think, because I think Amir Khan did fuck all in that Canelo fight. He did nothing.
Well, Spencer Ferron felt he was winning until he got knocked out. Many believe he was up on the card. Secondly, you know, he was fighting the lineal middleweight champion at the time. And not only that, Khan has systematically proven and consistently proven that he takes chances. He took it with Danny, you know, he's taken it with multiple people. That's why he suffered losses. I mean, so is Khan, I guess, being unfair in saying that Brooke deserves 30%? And producer, can you find out what sort of percentage did Khan receive when he fought Canelo? So let's see how he acted as the B-side.
Also, by the way, I cannot find any official Brook and Triple G numbers. I do know that Eddie Hearn and Sky Sports do not release them ever. So that's much harder to find. And I have, you know, at least people that I know inside the U.S. market that knows U.S. pay-per-view, like Dave Meltzer is very famous for always knowing pay-per-views for boxing and MMA and such. The UK doesn't really have that, so it's much harder to get numbers. So I'm still looking for that, and I'll look up what the split was between Canelo and Khan.
Well, you know what? Numbers are extremely disturbing, the lack of thumbs up. So, you know, just hit thumbs up. We're giving you guys more breaking news topic and relevant topic. So please hit thumbs up so we have the, I guess, abilities to keep doing this. So that would be appreciated.
Thumbs up equate that you enjoy the content, plus to help with the visibility of the show. We always like to keep the amount of people watching kind of equal to the amount of thumbs
up. And it's interesting to note, again, that I don't think that I'm arguing, again, that Amir Khan is the B-side. And I agree that 50-50 is a little ridiculous. I think so, Eddie Hearn has gone publicly out and saying that it's a 50-50 fight. And I think Eddie Hearn is being a little bit greedy to assume that. So there has to be some type of compromise between the two, and it doesn't seem like either side is willing to make that compromise. And I don't know whose fault it is, but this is a fight that should be happening, right?
He's 30%.
Oh, and very quickly, Nessa. Sorry, very quickly. Amir Khan made $2 million in the Canelo fight. Canelo made $3.5 million. Now, that's guaranteed. That's not pay-per-view. That's not like the Box Nation TV deal that Amir Khan has. And like Totals, sportstech.com, which is very reputable, they reported that Amir Khan probably made $13 million. From that night, and you add it all.
Just his guarantee being so
guaranteed too.
Canelo's shows right there how much of a star he is. I mean, man, Canelo got 3.2 and he got
3.5, and Amir Khan got 2.
That's only 1.5 more. That's
yeah. Not
bad. Yeah, but I think that like there's back end money on that. Like you don't know with pay per view sales, and I'm pretty sure that like the Golovkin.
He said that Khan ended up making $13 million, so that was like an extra. 11
on top. That's a lot. Because that's from his Box Nation TV deal and the pay-per-view revenue. Because he has that too. Like Canelo doesn't have a Box Nation TV deal.
Again, based on the information, the facts that the producer was able to find, it just continues to point that Khan is the A side and Brooke needs to take what he can take to get this big fight.
Yeah, and this is also the other thing. It's like I really don't see a way that Amir Khan could win this fight. He has no chin. And Khel Brook will hit him. And I think Khel Brook will at least drop him. And I think that would be very hard for Amir Khan to win on a points decision versus Khel Brook, who I rate. He's a good fighter. And I just looking back on this, what is the best win that Amir Khan has at 147? Chris Algieri in a close fight? I mean, seriously.
Yep.
So Khel Brook and Eddie Hearn's team, they need to suck it up a little bit and be the B-side. But 70-30, like Ness said, it's ridiculous. It's disrespectful.
I don't know if it's ridiculous. I mean, I think you have to take what you can get. You will beat Amir Khan. Who doesn't believe that Khel Brook could beat Amir Khan?
Now, remember, in the ESPN article, Amir Khan did say that he offered Khel Brook a guarantee that was higher than the guarantee he got for Triple G. And then on top of that is the 70-30 split for pay-per-view. So, I mean, if that was truly the offer... And Khel Brook and Eddie Hearn didn't take it. I'm kind of shocked, honestly. I am.
Well, straight from the desk of Amir Khan, as you can see here on YouTube, if you're watching this on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher, don't worry about it. You can just drop us a 5-star review there. Head on over to YouTube and check out the live feed or the playback. It's okay. Future, present, past. You can always hit thumbs up and come back and watch it. We're showing a screenshot of Amir Khan's verified Twitter. And I quote, Eddie, I'm the A-side. And you and Khel know he will make more than he did against Triple G. Don't you agree? 300 retweets, 358 likes. This was January 23rd, which is today, and it was at 6:43 a.m. Eastern time that this went out. So, again, showing his popularity in a matter of hours.
Which is like lunchtime over there.
Exactly. In a matter of hours, this man garnered that much attention with a simple tweet. Now, he was only piggybacking off of Eddie Hearn's tweet, which you can see that says he is correct. At 70-30, we don't have a fight.
We don't want the fight.
Excuse me.
And I agree. But here's I don't like this argument. And Floyd Mayweather uses this, and a lot of other boxers use this argument. They go, I'm just making up numbers. You only made $2 million before. I'm willing to give you $5 million. That's $3 million more than you've ever made before. That's not how it necessarily works in negotiating in general. You have to evaluate how much you're worth to the product and the end result. So I just don't like that because 70-30 is fucking brutal. It's brutal because Kell Brook, 70-30 is what Kell Brook deserved when this fight was first talked about. Kell Brook's name, I think, has
gone. What has he done since then to make his name better? Lose Triple G?
Lose to Triple G.
They did a pretty successful. Well, it's funny you guys say that. It's funny you guys say that. It's funny you say that. And I agree with you. Don't say JoJo Dan. You could say that he came over here and he beat Sean Porter, who is a very good fighter.
The talks happened after that fight.
But it didn't happen. But
yeah, the way that you talk about Danny Garcia beating fucking Lucas Matisse, that's how you need to start acting about Kell Brook and Sean Porter. What year was that? 2014 or 15?
13, I think.
I think that was even more. I think that's more impressive. Sean Porter is a very that's more impressive than Lucas Matisse.
What have you done for me lately?
Right, but my thing, what has Khan done for me lately? But my whole thing is that Amir Khan's name has gotten worse. That's what I'm saying. Like, what has Amir Khan done besides have a fucking
they've
sex
done the same thing? They've both been knocked out by
but it's also
middleweight. So let's be real. Like,
but Amir Khan's being
one was knocked out in front of more people,
and one was actually knocked out, and the other guy got his orbital broken. And a lot of people, like, they believe, like, yo, if it wasn't for his orbital, he was doing well against Golovkin, who was obviously a better fighter, and he was going to win, and he was putting hands on him, and blah, blah, blah. So, like, I think Kell Brook looks better right now as far as how he's trending, as far as how he's trending as a fighter.
How does Kell Brook look better when at least Amir Khan tried to be great? Kell Brook's been ducking Earl Spence in the eyes of the public.
They don't care about that. The UK fans don't care about that. We care about that. I care about that.
You know, let me ask you guys a question that I read in the comments, right? Do you think that the UK fans view Kell Brook like the way that we view an up-and-coming UK fighter? Like, I don't know, Bradley Skeet or somebody. Who's someone heavily touted in the UK? Who's heavily touted in the UK?
Selby.
No, he's won a title already.
What's his name? The guy who
Roy Jones Jr.
No. The guy who was going to be a contender for the guy who's going to be a contender for Jack or DeGale, one of those guys. What's his name? White guy.
All right. What about this example?
No.
The perfect example. I got the perfect one, and this is actually the one that came from the comments. It was, do we view Earl Spence the way that we do because we're here in the U.S., and can U.K. and other countries view Earl Spence in the same eyes that us Americans view Jeff Horn? You understand?
Well, Callum Smith, thank you. I forgot. I'll give somebody credit in the chat. I was thinking of Callum Smith. Thank you.
That's not a bad comparison, I think. But very quickly, because MD made the point that what has Brooke and Khan done, you know, comparatively since the Porter win, and they both have the same amount of fights, the same amount of wins, and the same amount of losses since that Porter win by Brooke. You want to compare the wins and losses, MD? You want to see who did better?
Who looked better in their fights, though?
Amir Khan, hold on.
Better in their fights?
Who looked better opposition is what I want to know.
Amir Khan beat Luis Collazo, Devin Alexander, Chris Algieri, and then lost to Canelo Alvarez. Kell Brook, on the other hand, beat JoJo Dan, Frankie Gavin, Kevin Bisier, and then lost to Gennady Golovkin. And to me, the only credible one on that list is Frankie Gavin. And even then, who gives a fuck?
All knockouts, though.
They were all knockouts. That is.
Yeah, but look at the competition. Amir Khan can knock out JoJo Dan and Kevin Bisier.
I don't know. Can he?
I don't know.
Nah. Relax with that.
Kevin Bisier, come on.
Amir Shushine and Khan. He ain't knocking nobody out.
Let's mix it up a little bit. Let's open up these phone lines. We're going to go out to the United Kingdom. We're going to Blackface. What's going on, Blackface? One of our Patreon family over there.
Yeah, respect to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. It's currently 6:57 in the PM over here in the UK. Just want to chime in regards to the topic, in regards to the fight. In my opinion, like I said, I think about a week ago, I think the A side is the person who brings the most money to the table. And I think at this point, given how the fights that they've been putting on of late, I would say that Kell Brook at this point is the A side. Although the 70-30 split, you know, even if he is the A side or not, I don't like that split either. But, you know, Khan is popular over here, but the fact that it hurts the UK fighters when they abandon the UK, it hurts, you know, he hasn't been back to the UK and hasn't fought here for, I'm not sure how long he went off to America.
Yeah, but the Kell Brook fight, according to him, will always be there for him, so he doesn't care.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, but at the end of the day, whichever way you want to cut it, Kell Brook is ranked higher than Khan. It's not like Khan's ranked higher than Brook in anywhere. He isn't. Khan hasn't been a world champion since I don't know how long. Yeah, you could say his resume as of late has been better, but you know, like he says that it looks like now Khan's going to be fighting some tune-up. If Khan and Brook don't fight this year, Brook's going to have a bigger fight than Khan. Whoever he fights, whether he fights Spence here in the UK, is going to be a bigger fight than whatever Khan does. Whether he fights Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman with her, or whether he fights Pacquiao or whoever, Brook is going to have a bigger fight.
Blackfist, it's going to have to be Spence. It has to be Spence. Unless it's Pacquiao or another belt unification, because, I mean, we were speculating that maybe the IBF would make some type of exemption because the Khan Brook fight is such a financial prosperous fight for the IBF that they would bend the rules again for that. But what are they going to do now with that? He has to fight Kell Brook.
No, he has to. Yeah,
Spence. He has to fight Errol Spence.
But what I don't like Brook saying, how people are saying people don't know Errol Spence's name. That doesn't matter, because if you're the star as you claim you are, it doesn't matter who you fight, you're still going to get paid. People are still going to come and watch you. Are they not? That's still going to happen, regardless if when he's fighting Joe Jordan and all these girls, people will still come and see him. So it doesn't matter. You still get your £2 million guarantee. It makes no difference who you fight. I understand you want to fight the bigger fights and make $5 million and $6 million and $7 million, but you're not dealing with chump change here. This is why I don't like the whole mandatory thing, because it's okay when the mandatories ain't shit, but when once of these mandatories pop up and they've got a little bit of a hype behind them, now you're saying, oh, you know, I want to talk about other big fights and no one knows this guy, yada, yada, yada. But when those big fights weren't out there for you, it was okay fighting, you know, Sam the Garbage Man and this guy and that guy. I don't like this mandatory thing. As far as I'm concerned, you should always just scrap mandatories completely. You should just negotiate whoever you want to fight and then just leave it at that, because mandatories get in the way of stuff and then you have this guy ducking this guy and yada, yada, yada. It just looks stupid if you ask me. But, you know, hopefully they do fight. I don't think Khan stands a chance. Khan's going through some trials and tribulations over in the UK where people are allegedly recording him having sex with some random person and leaking it online and breaking his marriage and yada.
Does that hurt him? Does that hurt him over there? Or because I think it hurts him, because to me, that whole thing is embarrassing. It's an embarrassing thing. And this is not like getting a DUI or whatever. Like, it's just a bad look. So I think it hurts him. But do you agree with that or no?
It does. I would say it does hurt him, but it's not going to really hurt him financially. And people watch Amir Khan's to see him get fucked up. Bottom line, they don't pay to see him win. They're paying to see him get his chin checked. So, you know, people are still tuning in and watching get washed from round to round and watch him sleeping on the canvas, planking on his back and stuff. Well, you know.
So, but then they won't be watching against a tune-up fight then. A guy who's definitely – I mean, they're not going to put him in against a puncher, obviously. So, like, they're going to be like, yo, I might want to see Amir Khan get fucked up. But if he fights Fighter X, who, you know, I don't know, a lower-level guy over there or whatever, it's just not really enticing. So, I don't know.
No, Blackfist. He isn't going to fight anybody over there.
Blackfist, you know. I have a quick question for you. Just how known is Errol Spence to the UK public? And obviously not to you. You're a listener of the show, loyal listener, by the way. We always want to remind you and appreciate you. But I mean, your friends or I guess your guesstimation of how popular Errol Spence is over there. Is he the equivalent of Jeff Horn to us?
I would say, well, Earl Spencer's gotten popular based on the fact that he's just been mentioned with Kell Brook's name. I mean, Kell Brook can't run around here saying that people don't know Earl Spence. More people know Earl Spence than they do that Joe Jordan and that biscuit guy, whoever he fought. He's just a complete.
Yeah, but you guys over there know that the U.S. obviously produces some very good fighters. So it's not like it's Australia. Like the U.S., we have world champions. The U.K. has world champions. We're not talking about Australia, who doesn't have that many world champions. So it's not the same. This.
Let me just make another quick point as well. What I like to see as well is when fighters fight another guy that looks like them. Earl Spence looks like Brook. He's got the physique. He's got the skin tone, the skin color. They look the same. So it's a better matchup. If that makes sense. I know that might sound kind of suspect, which is why I've been telling all along, you know, I want Wilder and Joshua to match up because they look the same. When people see the image of them two going to fight, man's going to be like, yeah, these men are about it. These men are going to come into fight. So he can't keep saying this about Earl Spence. You need to just fight them mandatory or just vacate the belt. It's just taking the piss and just wasting everyone's time. This fight should have happened already, or, you know, he should have passed the belt off and moved up in weight. Look like Badu Jack did. He didn't waste no time. He just said, yeah, he's going to vacate and just dumped it and then moved up and going to bigger challenges. That's what I would have done if I was Kell Brook by now. But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Oh, shit. We lost him. We'll get him back.
I disagree very much with this.
Go ahead, Blackface.
Yeah, 1 second. You can respond to this. I disagree with someone having to fight someone exactly like them because I think the contrast in whether it be country origins, ethnicity, race, just looks, I think being a fan of one or the other, when you have a guy exactly look like the other guy sometimes, I think it's less – there's less contrast, making it less intriguing from the casual perspective. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
You're serious?
Guys, are you guys serious with the amount of thumbs up? I'm not understanding it. I mean, this is a UK-based show. We don't usually do that. It's nice and early for you guys. Hit that thumbs up button. How is that so hard? Why is that so hard? Blackface, go for it.
Tough times don't last. Tough people do.
We sure do. You see TBV still standing, man. Thank you for calling in. As always, Blackface, you got to try and make it out to this TBV appreciation night, man. I just got the confirmation. We are officially going to have the event in Brooklyn, and we're going to have a the official DJ will be DJ Hollywood of Hot 97. And what? How do you pronounce it? I always say it wrong. Is it Sirius or Cyrus? Sirius XM?
Sirius.
You muted yourself.
It's serious.
Yeah, it's serious. Okay, so like serious, like I'm serious. We have Sirius XM's DJ Hollywood, one of the heavy hitters, who's also on Hot 97. He will be in the building from I think it's 6:30 to about 1 a.m. On the ones and twos, I mean. So we're going to have some killer news. Whoa. You all right? Whoa, buddy. He must be calling in on walkie-talkie.
Sounds like he's in like a water theme park going down a slide.
No, he's on a walkie-talkie over there. Mr. Hand Wraps that doesn't like the direction the show has been going lately, huh, Hand Wraps? What's going on? Voice that opinion, buddy.
Damn, you coming with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming for your throat.
That hook right off,
huh? I'm coming for your throat. Don't be cool, on the keyboard. Bitch. You on a show now.
Yeah, I'm calling. Ain't nobody ducking. I don't like you, nigga. That's just the problem, bottom line.
Oh,
like
Angel you, Garcia. Angel Garcia. Calm down.
Freedom of speech. Continue.
Oh, you throwing low left blows right off the bat. Well, then there you go, homie. I'm headbutting. What's good?
Okay, I hear you, man.
Anyways, I was
Trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. Yeah, you get him body by a singing nigga. I'm not the type of nigga that'll type of niggas.
Okay. So so you want to go at it? I'll keep on that subject if you like. Because I was going to stick to the topic, but we can go off of that topic if you prefer.
Which topic you want to go off?
I doubt you want to go that route. The topic you brought up right off the jump.
Well, I mean, I'm just addressing your comment. Yeah, I want to know.
Hit the bell. Let's do this.
I actually do want to know what it is that you dislike. Let's do it live on the show.
You know, I really dislike.
Wait. Let's give you a bell. Let's give you a bell because I don't want people saying I'm unfair.
No, I won't be running. I ain't gonna run off y'all forever. Listen, man, what I dislike is the way you be treating motherfuckers. Bottom line, your attitude, personally, you show no appreciation sometimes when people are doing work for you. You come across as a very arrogant boss. a kind of person who doesn't appreciate the team around him, the kind of person that has been exposed by others. And we're not going to spread any rumors because I don't know any facts, what goes on. I'm just an outsider ringside, taking a look at what's going on. And I can tell you that there's a lot of people who support you, Ness, and you have a strong following and you have a real, you know, hardcore base that loves you. But everybody knows and everybody can see the type of person that you is. And that's my issue with the direction of the show, is that if you would take yourself off the pedestal for a second and allow others to help you, you would be more successful, my brother. And I would more than love to donate to your show. You might even notice that I listen and watch every fucking show. And I would love to be a Patreon, my friend. But I just can't support you. And that's the bottom line.
Very strange when you listen to every single show. And, you know, it's kind of hard to not support me when at the end of the day, I am the show. Like, my co-hosts come and go.
No, the callers are the show.
One moment, because I didn't interrupt you. But there are no callers if I don't get up and do it, though. Hand wraps. That's the thing that no one wants to understand. When everything always hits the fan, everyone forgets to realize that if Nestor is not here, it doesn't happen. No one ever, none of the guys that you're, you know, lighting a candle for, ever took the time to learn how to do it in case I wasn't around. The only one that dedicates every single hour of their day to you is me. The only one that's ever replied to every email, every tweet is me. But everyone has an opinion, baby.
No, you know, and I give you credit for that. Like I said, it's the way you carry yourself. I love your show, man. I'd be fronting to tell you I don't. I'm here calling. I wanted to talk.
He's pretty
about
much saying you take people like me for granted.
You're the only one doing it, man. You're carrying the flag.
He's pretty much saying you take people like me for granted, which
carry yourself. Man.
But you see, the difference is, MD, that people think I take people for granted because I choose not to make videos. I don't have time for that. The videos I make are these shows to entertain you and to give you a platform to speak. But man, I got years worth of receipts. People know. The people that need to know. That is the truth. And that is why only TBV has ever had an appreciation night, because I think outside the box that is the ring.
Yeah, man, I give you credit where it's due, man. I ain't going front. You put in work, and you ain't ever backing out of a fight. So, like I said, man, I think it's the way you carry yourself that I just can't get on board with, man.
Which is the oddest thing, right?
The new guys you got around.
Which is the oddest thing, Handrats, because everyone that meets me personally, because I go to plenty events, everyone that meets me personally, I don't see them having a problem. And is also the other thing about me. I'm not just one of these guys that get on here and yappity yap. I'm actually the same guy here and at every single city and state.
Yeah,
There's other guys here that you defend. There's other guys on here that you're defending that have never been.
Nah.
They've never been. They don't have a Rolodex. They can't call and get answers. They lie.
Hey, man,
they lie. I don't lie.
Let me just say one thing. One thing before I go. My only example I'll leave you with is every time you have a guest on your show, you hardly ever show appreciation, man. You don't say thanks for coming on the show. It's go back and listen to it, man. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hand wraps. You're totally wrong, because my key line is thank you for giving us the opportunity to interview you. That's my start off. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Big, little, small. I say it to them all. Go back and check, baby. Believe me. I'm not only appreciative to the guests. You know what? Because if you notice, we've stopped and now we've started again. Every time we get a co-producer who has the time, because you're right, the callers are what make the show. So I don't worry about guests. The guests come on, when we get a co-producer like Anna or Gina who decide to put in that time, because I can't worry about callers and guests. My life has always been the call. That's why you've seen, I'm not going to say names, but you've seen host after host during a live 3-hour show drop off. But the only guy that's here to answer your calls, the only guy that's here to give you 3 minutes per call is Ness. Because if I drop off, hey, the show drops off.
Hand wraps. What do you want though? Like, what would make you one sec? What would make you as someone who would like to support the show more willing to support? Is it like the content? Is it just attitude shifts? Like, what is your, I guess, biggest?
The content is awesome. It's just certain things throw me off. Like when you get a new caller and you be like, before the Patreon, you were real enthusiastic about it. Now it just seems very cut dry because he ain't a Patreon or, you know, things of that nature. I hear the way you guys be throwing a little bit of shame on non-Patreons. And again, that's the only reason why I haven't signed up.
You got to, you got to go.
It kind of rubs me the wrong way, the way Monster P is beginning her, she don't be getting her just due, man. She be getting cut short. You'd be disrespecting treating her a little foul. You'd be hearing it.
I'm letting you know, but picture this perspective. I know there are certain podcasts, not boxing podcasts, that they do things like they'll take half their podcast off because they'll put the other half on Patreon only, right? So this is, it's like, it's not necessarily like, it's more of an additional thing. And yes, it's great when there's new callers and I choose not to do that, to put Patreons. No callers above another caller. Everybody gets 3 minutes. Obviously, you have options.
Wrong about that. This is what I'm saying. He needs to rewrap his hands and come back and fight, because first time callers, let me just show him what he's obviously forgetting.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
So first time callers get that to start off.
When was the last time we heard one of those?
Hold on a moment. Hand wrap. We got two producers. If we don't got a first time caller at the moment, we can't use it. But hold on one moment. Now, to go to your second point about the first time callers, and I love this. Anyone that has a problem, listen, I'm here. I've always been here. Anybody knows it. You can respond to me, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I'm there to talk. Coach Mitty is one of the people who are not happy, and I talk to him too all the time. That being said, the first time callers, I specifically tell them we usually give 3 minutes, but first time callers get more calls for being new. Dude, you really need to go back and listen, man.
And also, when we do a lot more spontaneous shows nowadays, and we give callers a minute for spontaneous shows. It's not a Thursday and Sunday show.
Exactly.
When we get a new caller on those spontaneous shows, we don't give them that intro. We always tell them, call back on Thursday and Sunday when you get the full 3 minutes, and we're going to give you the intro. We always say that, man. Like, I.
But hand wraps, continue to call in and continue to.
But the real question is, do you do, when you wrap your hands, do you do 7, 7, and 7, or like, what's your technique? I want to know your hand wrap technique. No, I'm.
Do you really have a hand wrapping technique, or did you just pick that username out of the air?
Do I have a hand wrap, man? Have you guys ever been? Actually, MD's been in the ring, right?
Yeah, MD. Yeah. MD's been in the ring. He was in there with Thurman. he don't want to get in there with Matt, but you wouldn't be able to see it because you ain't.
Because I can't practice medicine with a felony on my record.
Yo, you wouldn't be able to see the spar match. You ain't coming to the appreciation night because you don't want to support the show.
Hey, yo, Ness, you're a little too big for me, but Matt's right around my size, and he was looking for a sparring partner, right?
Let's go, hand wraps.
Yo, you guys.
Yo, he's willing to fight Pauly, so he's definitely willing to fight you.
Yo, they called you Bubble. They called you Bubble Wraps. I know he ain't scared. They called you Bubble Wraps in the chat. But let me tell you, you guys would need to sign the contract.
You know what's up.
You guys would need to sign the contract before we sign the venue, man, because we found the venue and there's no ring there. So before we sign the contract on that venue, you guys need to sign a fight contract for us to go back to Gleason's and get it done.
Sorry.
I thought we were done.
No, but I also say one thing again, right?
I want to say there's gotta be a little gym down the road that we could do it the day after.
Yo, Alex in the chat said, "Why is Ness taking this tune-up? Hand wraps isn't even ranked."
but I will say one thing, and this is for hand wraps, and this is for hand wraps, and this is for any other caller in general who has, like, you know. whether it's constructive criticism or issues or whatever, like if you contact anybody on the show, we all take criticisms and we all listen to what you have to say. It's not just Ness. Some people don't want to approach Ness to say this. Some people want to approach, people have approached me and said certain things and I bring it to Ness, or sometimes I don't bring it up and I just think about it. So we all are accessible and we all take criticism. Some people don't like me. Some people don't like Ness. Some people don't like, well, everybody loves Matt, you know, how could you not love Matt? Right. So no, but so this is the voice of the people and will always be the voice of the people. And myself, I tried not to hijack calls. Sometimes I add it, you know, but again, I do believe that this show is the caller show. That's what makes our show the voice of the people. And it makes it unique, different from any other boxing show.
Dude, so
it will always be about the callers.
If I told people the amount of hours that are registered under that Blog Talk account, and you have to remember that there's a whole year worth of podcasts where we were only on Mixlr and not on Blog Talk.
The Mixlr days. Yeah.
Damn, man. I didn't want to have to come at you, Ness. You had to make me go and do that. Now I feel bad.
It's all – listen, don't, bro, because I promise you.
I'll take the knee because you put in work and you don't deserve that. I send it as a motherfucking comment just coming at you. I didn't expect you to respond. You did. You're a man. Cool. You know what? I'll take my knee. I'll take the knee because you've been putting in work. And you deserve that much, brother.
Thank you, brother. But like I said, man, there's no hard feelings at all. I actually encourage everyone, if you want to take your 3 minutes to, you know, give us constructive criticism, do so. Like at the end of the day, you guys see, this is what we doing for a living, especially me, not them. They're here supporting, but I'm definitely doing this for a living. So whatever I need to do to make it the right product is what I'm willing to do. That being said, we definitely have to speed this thing up. We just went some unprepared rounds there, me and Hand Wraps, but let's get to some alumni.
Hold on. Sorry. We got Boomerang.
Oh, who's that?
Canadian Jose for the 403.
Let's get to Jose then.
Hey, guys. What's up, man? Speaking of Patreon.
I was about to hit you up with your intro, but there you go. Speaking of Patreon, you were saying?
There you go. Speaking of Patreon, I get to bud the light, eh? So Hand Wraps, you know, I know it might not work out for you. But, you know, I was actually going to talk about the Spence fight, but I will in a second. But I just want to quickly give my 2 cents on this last thing. I could personally say myself, knowing Ness, I think, you know, 4 or 5 years already, I remember the first time I went to New York with my family, not even knowing Ness, he offered to have us stay at his house, man. So that's just the kind of guy he is. I wish people... You know, I give him shit too, and I like to bug his boxing picks and everything. But when it comes to Ness, the guy, he's a really good dude, man. I wish people would actually meet him. You know, he'll take the time, go out, see you at your seats, you know, be nice to people. I mean, there's a lot of passion there, man. So I think it's easy to, you know, to get influenced by what other former hosts have said. But, I mean, in the 4 or 5 years you've been doing this, what, you've probably missed 15, 20 shows? I mean, some people take more sick days than that in a year, right? So, I mean, props to you, Ness. I appreciate your passion. And I love your new co-host. I agree with what MD said. Not everyone's going to like everyone. But thanks to all these shows that you're pumping out, and thanks to MD's dedication, I think a lot of people who didn't necessarily like him actually like him. Not only do they agree with some of the boxing stuff he says, but he's a cool guy, man. He's dedicated, and we appreciate that. So we see Matt a lot, too, and... You know, nothing but love for all you guys. And, you know, hopefully the show does continue to grow. Patreon, guys, I think you guys just got to understand, man, just on a simple basis of entertainment, you're listening to this show. I understand everyone has different economic conditions, but if you can afford internet and you can afford a cell phone, you can afford $5 a month to support these guys. And the more we support them, the more Ness is going to be able to fly out all his voice to all these parties, have all the hosts there. I think it would be fair to have Steven and Matt and, you know, everyone else who contributes be there at these reunion shows, but the dollars and cents just don't add up, right?
You want to know the truth? I recommended, and for the record, people don't know things behind the scene. People lie on the internet, and I could be the first one. I would never go behind people's back and, you know, say, but people don't know what goes on, so whatever. And the other thing is, I was the one who recommended to Ness that all these additional shows should be for Patreon only, because we have the Thursdays and Sunday show, or we have Thursdays and Sunday show, and we'll never take those away because that's always the show. And I'm like, oh, we should have like an X amount a month per whatever. But we decided to have these shows accessible so that the people could choose to keep supporting this product and keep giving us more stuff. We, of course, have Patreon-only content, but that's, you know, in addition to the additional shows that we're giving you. So, you know, we're giving you a lot of content. And the whole Patreon thing, it's not – we don't treat you guys any differently. We give incentives for people to donate because that's how any fucking product works. I don't know what world you guys live in if that's not true. But it's just an appreciation thing. And like Canadian Jose says, we're not asking for $50 a month.
It's not like we're taking anything away from our existing listeners. It's an extra thing. Like if you want extra content on top of the, you know, tons that we're giving out free, well, then head on over to Patreon. If you don't, that's also fine.
And Jose, quickly, tell us your thoughts about this real quick.
Yes, let's get back to some boxing. We've lost like 60 people because we went.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, and that's cool. I just wanted to give my opinion on that. So I support and all the best to you guys. Now, as for the fight, this is why I was actually calling in. I think you're wrong, Ness, on this, because I think Brooke is just as well known to the casual fan here in North America as Spence is to the casual fan in Britain. They're both still, like, you know, fairly unknown. Like, Brooke doesn't move the needle as much as you think. If Brooke goes, you know, somewhere in you know, some part of the States, he's not going to sell out a stadium in Vegas. He's not going to do anything like that. So I think these guys are delusional. Like, when you're trying to compare, you know, Spence to Horn, I think that's a far stretch, because the hardcore fan knows anywhere in the world where they're at, they know that Spence is the real deal, man, and they want to see him. So, I mean, I don't think you compare that at all, right? So I would love to see Brooke fight Spence. You know, it's going to do well in the UK. Here in North America, it'd probably do good as well. But they're both very still unknown in terms of you know, they don't have the Khan brand recognition. They're not the Pacquiao's. They're not those guys. They're not even at the Thurman Garcia level, right? So that's my take on that, guys. So I'll keep listening and keep pumping out that content, guys. Talk to you soon. Peace.
All right, Jose. Thanks for calling in. If you don't like I know, you should lie low. I used to get it in Ohio.
Yeah, man. I'm about to use my 3 minutes to tell y'all what I really don't like about y'all, man. I'm going to start with you, MD, man. Sorry, I'm just messing with y'all, man. Just real quick, man.
I was going to give you should take 3 minutes to just go out on me because, you know, there's a whole 3 minutes of dislike about me. So I know.
No. I mean, that call, I almost fell asleep on that call, man. But, I mean, back to the boxing, though, man. I'm going to touch on that real quick. I mean, I can understand where Ness is coming from. And I have noticed, because I've been listening to it for years now, I've noticed other co-hosts have, you know, be on one day, off the next day, hop on and off throughout the show. Ness is always there. So, I mean, I try to run my own business. So being my own business owner, and this is a business for you, Ness. So, I mean, if you're trying to run your own business, you know, either somebody's going to be with you or they ain't going to be with you. You ain't got time to stop. So people may take that as being arrogant, but, you know, that's being the businessman. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do. But back to the Amir Khan, Kell Brook situation, man. Yo, man, this is a duck by Amir Khan. Amir Khan know he can't beat Kell Brook. I don't – this 70-30 shit is crazy, man. Yeah, and Ness, man, I guess I don't like you, man. Because you was trying to validate this whole 30% for Kell Brook. Like it's not really
– No. All I'm doing is the same thing people are telling Gennady Golovkin to do with Canelo.
And what you told Gennady Garcia to not do with Pacquiao.
Well, there wasn't an official order. I mean, there wasn't an official offer. No,
MD has the best memory. It's all right. I remember everything. I have a great memory.
But no, man. That's just awful, man. To ask that man to take 30%. But let's ask this: what other big money fight does Amir Khan have out there? Even if he gets Danny Garcia, that
you can say the same thing about Kell Brook, though.
Yeah, you can say the same thing about Kell Brook. Listen, they need each other, but we all know
Brook. Exactly.
No, but we all know that Brook needs Khan more than Khan. Khan is a fight. All right, I'm gonna make it real easy for you. I'm gonna mention a few names versus Khan and versus Brook. Which one would you pay $50 pay per view? Khan versus Adrian Broner.
Would I pay $50 pay per view? Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
I say yeah.
Khan versus Keith Thurman. Forget about Danny Garcia. We're talking about canceling that right now. They go at it. You know,
yes,
you would,
I would pay. Yes.
You know, listen, going down this route, you would pay for Khan versus any top 10, not top 10, let's say top 5 welterweight. But would you do the same for Kell Brook?
And I would do the same for, I would. Yeah, Kell versus Thurman. Look, put it like this. If I
Kell versus Thurman's a better fight than any of the fights you just mentioned.
Exactly.
But I'm a boxing fan. I don't care about names as much. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Amir Khan is a bigger name. We can't lie about that. But is he really that much of a bigger name? He's not. Because again, MD brought up a great point when he said Canelo and Amir Khan, they did what, 450,000 or 460, whatever, let's say 500, you rounded up to 500. Well, Canelo did 300 with Liam. So, I mean, Canelo carried most of that pay-per-view, not Amir Khan. So for Amir Khan to then turn around saying, well, I need 70-30, like I'm going to carry most of this pay-per-view in UK, is bullshit. That's him not wanting to take an L to Kell Brook right now. That's all.
Not to mention that fight was made, prefaced, at least from Golden Boy's perspective, that was the fight as a middleweight fight because Amir Khan fight from the middleweight belt, then they were fighting Golovkin. So it's like people are willing to pay. They go, yeah, I'm going to buy this pay-per-view, but he's fighting Golovkin next. So that was also another effect as well.
Jay Will, got to run. Mr. Yes, Sir, talk to me.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Right.
First question. Is the sanctioning fee always the same, or is it like the bigger the fight, like the sanctioning fee?
It varies.
Yeah, sanctioning fees go up.
Well, because imagine like Floyd's sanctioning fees were like $300,000. Like if you're a undercard guy, you can't pay that, obviously.
They're typically percentages, but sometimes they have cap limit because they're not going to say 10%. And then 10% of 10 million, they're not necessarily going to get $1 million. So sometimes they have cap limits.
Yes.
So that. I was wondering, maybe the IBF was always giving Kell Brook these OKs so they could get a higher sanctioning fee from this fight over the Spence shit. But that's what I was thinking, you know. But I think these guys, they're treating this like this is their Mayweather Pacquiao. They're always hyping it up, and then towards the end of the career is when they're going to cash in on this fight. They're doing their own. Every year or two, they hype up that they want to fight or they don't want to fight, and then it falls out for some odd weird shit. And at the last minute, when their careers are just about done, they're going to cash in, get that fight. That's all I think about these two guys.
Yeah, but it's so different because
– best to see.
Because Pacquiao lost to Marquez, but they both were doing great things up until the fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kell Brook took a loss to Golovkin.
These guys are legit. It's just they know they're going to have that fight no matter what the career ends like. And why not kind of end with that hoorah, a good hometown fight at the end? I think that's what they're kind of doing with that.
And I don't think Amir Khan could lose again.
I don't think
Amir Khan could take a bad loss again and it be as big. But
yeah, I kind of agree with that. But they're hoping that's what it is. And I
what do you mean? Wait a minute.
Fan base.
Amir Khan has taken more losses and been able to still remain bigger.
Another bad loss.
I still think he could rebuild. Look how many times he's rebuilt.
You only could take so many, I think.
When he talks his shit like he's cocky, if he keeps talking like he's cocky, people want to see him get knocked out again. So I kind of agree with that.
But on a health standpoint, he may not be able to take knockouts like a Canelo knockout. You know, two times.
Yeah, but he also won't take another Canelo knockout because why would he be going back up to 160?
I'm not saying like from Canelo. I'm saying like a knockout that bad. Like if Brook knocked him out that viciously, would he be able to medically, you know, health wise, come back and be able to fight and be 100%?
Listen, Mr. Yes, sir. Let me get to some other calls.
Let him go. He wanted to say one thing to me. Go ahead before you go.
Oh, thank you. I asked Matt a casual question. I got a casual question for MD. If it's you're in Florida, what do you people talk about more, Thurman or Laura?
I've never heard the name as Landy Laura ever spoken, ever. Keith Thurman's not a huge star, but I've never heard the word Laura spoken, ever. Never.
Wow. Yo, but let me tell you, Mr. Yes, sir, when I went to St. Petersburg, Florida, the home of Keith Thurman, where I will be going for this training camp once I get back from Alabama visiting Wilder, I asked many people, you know, the Krispy Kreme place, the where's that place you took me, MD, the taco spot, everywhere I could go, I would ask. I'm you know, I'm open like that, and I was just asking, just doing my own little survey. People did not know who the hell Keith Thurman was.
And we have that video, and we have that video on the website where.
Oh my God, we have the video on the website. That's right, of a kid who is an aspiring amateur boxer, doesn't even, he walks into Keith's gym, wanting to be trained, and doesn't know that Keith is the welterweight champion of the world.
But to be fair, didn't know
that Keith was alive.
To be fair, he didn't know who.
So Deont- bad.
He didn't know who Deontay Wilder was, and then I asked him if he knew who Muhammad Ali was, and he got offended. But I didn't know if he even knew Muhammad.
Speaking of Wilder, I went to Alabama, did the same thing. Even the person selling me chicken at Popeyes knew who Wilder was. I mean, everyone knew who Wilder was in Alabama, though. But again,
to be fair, I knew people. I know people in Tampa. Yo, I know people in Tampa who know who he is. But again, I think my friends around the age, they all like kind of like watch boxing and MMA. So I think that they would be in the demographic that for sure pays attention to him. They're all big one-time fans. So it's. He's not as big as he should be, but he's slightly known. More than Lawrence, no, for sure.
No, he needs not. To get his popularity up. But you know what's not as big as it should be? The thumbs up or the amount of subscribers. Do not forget to subscribe. This is our second spontaneous show today, Hand Wraps. I don't know if you watched the first one. You better go back and check it out. We're going to the Boxologist. Talk to me. Where's he at? 816. Where's that at? Yo, where are you calling in from?
Kansas City, man. Kansas City, Missouri.
All right, Kansas City. Boxologist, talk to us, man.
Yeah, man, what's up, man? Hopefully on hijack my call, MD. But yeah, man, I just wanna you know, this old debacle, man, with Kell Brook and Amir Khan, man. It just seems like the dude, everybody know he's been ducking and dodging Errol Spence, man, this whole time. He never had no intention to fight him. And for some bright idea, he just figured he's the A side, you know, to Amir Khan. And realistically, man, they both in the same position, man, right now, because at the end of the day, they both got knocked out by, you know, a high caliber fighter their last fights. And you know what I'm saying? They really is on the bottom. Like, I don't even see, like, they need to be back at the drawing board. You know what I'm saying? Especially, like, with Amir Khan. You know what I'm saying? He's still trying to wake back up, you know? So, I mean, both of these guys are talking like they just won their last fight. If they get knocked out or they win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you would think the way they talking and trying to build this fight is like, they just beat Triple G and Canelo. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to make a super fight. You know what I'm saying? But I think before they even get to talk, man, they really should try to get two wins under their belts, man, before they even try to stay some kind of super fight. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, how are y'all the best in the UK if y'all both coming off of losses? You know what I'm saying? The best.
Can I ask you a question, or is that hijacking? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead. You stop my time. You ask. Go ahead. What's up?
No, but I believe that all knockouts aren't created equally, and I think that Amir Khan's knockout was way worse.
I mean, it was way worse, but at the same time, man, this dude got his shit cracked, man. You know what I'm saying? I got cracked with gloves on. You know, they threw it. They said that's enough. He could even continue to even have the possibility of getting knocked out because his trainer said, that's it, stop it, please. My I don't want no more for my fighter. You know, get him out of there before he gets probably put in the worst position in Amir Khan. You know what I'm saying? At least Amir Khan went out on his shield. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but, you know, either way it goes, man, you know, Errol Spence going to get the IBF strap one way or another. You know, if he gets, you know, forced in there to fight him, I mean, you probably going to look at a more devastating knockout when Errol Spence knock his ass out. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that dude, I mean, when you compare Errol Spence's first 4 years of him being a pro to all these champions right now at welterweight, including Amir Khan and whoever else, when you compare their first 4 years from their debut, don't none of these guys hold a candle to Errol Spence, man. None of them. You know, none of these guys, young fighters right now. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, I let the two losers argue it out, man. But at the end of the day, you know, I think before this year is out, we're going to have a new IBF champion. And his name, he ain't going to be from the UK, you know. But, I mean, that's my spiel on that, man.
All right, Box.
Hey, you know, hey, another thing. Ooh. I'll tell you one thing, bro. Hello?
Yep. Go ahead.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Oh, hey, man. Hey, I want to tell you, bro, personally, man, keep doing your thing, bro. That hating-ass dude on the gloves, I'll lace him up. Well, I can't even think of his name. You know what I'm saying? He came on talking about he don't like how you act yourself, man. Hey, fuck that, man. He needs to pick his face up, man. You know what I'm saying? That's haters, man. You keep doing your shit, man, because this type of stuff, man, like, hey, man, look, this type of stuff needs to be broadcasted better than fucking the regular sports stations out here on my shit. You know what I'm saying? This shit is 10 times better, bro. So, I mean, keep doing your shit, man. Hopefully this, you know what I'm saying, your boxing voice, man, goes worldwide, man. I wish you nothing but the best with it, man. Don't worry about the haters, man. If they don't like it, fuck them. Let them watch something else. You know what I'm saying? But that's all I want to tell you, bro. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Thank you, Boxologist. Appreciate the kind words. Listen, guys, we're going to speed it up because we actually want to come back with another video. There's some very big breaking news we got to talk about. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We'll be coming right back. So it is Drive By Mo. We're going to give you a couple of seconds, say what you got to say, but we need to come back with a whole new show, whole new title, same bat channel, though. Subscribe to it to get your notification. We still got alumni. We still going to give you your love, though. That's for sure, man. Let's get to him.
Hold up, son. Word. Yeah. To all the killers and the underdogs, I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queen Bridge murderers.
Damn, Ness. Good afternoon, everybody. What's going on? I'm gonna make it brief because you said you're coming back for another show, right? All right. Cool.
Yes, sir.
Kell Brook need to fight. Listen, man. Kell Brook ain't have no problem fighting his mandatories before. He wanna fight Khan because he thinks Khan don't got no chin, which he actually doesn't. He want a big payday. He's scared of Spence. He might as well give up that belt. It's just politics right now. And he don't deserve no 70-30. Yeah. That's a good split for them because Khan is way bigger name. That's why he want that money. So 70-30 is right. They taking that everybody's doing that Mayweather. They doing the Mayweather. Everybody's running Mayweather, how he used to do his tactics, see? But they ain't willing to put the work in like Mayweather did. Mayweather, see, one thing about Mayweather, and I'm going to end it with this. We don't like to give nobody no money. That's the whole thing. He say he's for the fighters, but he really not. He's all about himself. Because before you crawl, you got to walk. Mayweather always got $32 million mandatory money. So if everybody else trying to build themselves up to get that way, I don't think Mayweather – I'm going to see if any of his fighters get at least that amount of money if they champions were undefeated. We're going to see. Time will tell. But that's all I had to say, Ness.
All right. Thank you for calling in, QB. Man, I highly doubt anybody makes that type of money again, bro. Anonymous caller. Who's this?
What do you mean AJ is going to be making more money than that?
Per Hello? Fight? Per fight? I mean, this guy was making $32 Hello? Million. Yes, who's this?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, who's this?
Rob. Is that right?
Who?
Yeah, it's Rob United. That's my Twitter name, anyway. My Twitter is RobUnited7. So just put me down as that if you want.
Did anybody get that?
Yeah, I'm just ringing up to say...
Could you repeat your name again, please?
Yeah, and speak up a little louder, man.
It's Rob United.
Rob United. Rob, you should be calling in on Skype, man, so it doesn't cost you much. It'll be absolutely free. But talk to us, Rob United.
I am. Yeah, I am on Skype. Okay. But yeah, what I'm ringing about is, well, it annoys me that no one in America, it seems like you guys and American callers there, doesn't give Brooke any props. Because I remember a while ago now, everyone's going on about Porter being the next big star, the way he smashed Devin Alexander and Paulie Malignaggi. Everyone said he's going to roll the roost, and then Calvert beat him. And now everyone's doing the same about Spence. And then everyone's saying that Calvert's running from him, he's scared of him. I'm sorry to say, but Calvert is scared of nobody. Calvert will fight him, and he will beat him. And to do with Khan Brook, Khan is just the biggest glass wimp going. And I think he just talks about fighting Brook to get his name out there. And as soon as it gets close, he asks for stupid about money, what he knows Brook won't give him because Brook is just as big as he is in the UK, and they don't really care about the American buys and everything because it's huge in England, so they're going to make loads that way.
Your caller, what type of beer are you drinking?
Totally agree. It is a big fight in England, and I want to thank you for calling in. We are on drive-by. We're going to get to some other callers.
I told y'all a long time ago, the Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, man. Stop those cookies. Stop me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah. It's the milk, man, baby. I'm back. I was sick. I'm back. Motherfucking flu had me. First of all, motherfucking Falcons going to the Super Bowl. I know y'all don't fuck with football. But I got a rep for my city, baby. There's big shit going on down here. Second, Amir Khan, 70-30, if they're fighting in America, might make sense. But I'm assuming if they would have fought, the shit would have been in the UK anyway, right?
I mean, that's where it would make the most sense for sure.
Yeah, okay. So,
but boxing sometimes doesn't make sense, though, but I feel you.
What's that?
It makes sense, but boxing doesn't always make sense, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. But, 70-30 in the States, yeah, I could probably see that. I mean, Amir has done more in the States than Kell Brook. But if they're fighting in the UK, man, that split needs to be a little bit tighter because I think both of them are just as big over in the UK. And I guess technically, Kell Brook is the champion right now, so I don't know. But either way, like I said, I'm not that interested in the fight. I'd rather see Kell Brook fight Errol Spence anyway. Get his man his shot, and everybody can fucking move on with their life. But that's all I got, man. I'll catch y'all on the next one.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you a young fella, and he comes from the Magnolia.
What's good, man? Shout out to the producer, man. You know what I'm saying? He earning his paycheck today. That's what I'm talking about, Matt. That's what I like to see, you hear me? Now, for this Errol Spence and this Kell Brook situation, man, look, Brook dropped the belt, man. Stop fucking around. You understand? You don't want to fight at welterweight unless it's kind. You know what I'm saying? Because you know this man got a weak chin, and you know he can't hurt that cracked eye socket. But you already know that this young, hungry future champion on your ass. You holding the belt hostage, knowing you don't want to really defend it. I mean, he don't need the belt to fight kind. So why you holding on to it? Drop the belt, man, and stay, cut the bullshit and let this man go on with his career. I want to see somebody at welterweight who's going to fight the rest of the welterweight. You understand? Drop the belt, man. That's all I got. And that's why they fucking around. Drop the belt. And then go fight kind. That's it.
I just want to, I agree to an extent with the drop in the belt, but I just want to say one thing before we move on. I don't think Brooks afraid. I don't think that's kind of ridiculous to assume he's afraid. I think that he's looking for the bigger fight. And then, you know, fighting Spence is not the lucrative. But here's the other thing. People that think that Spence is going to easily beat Brook. Who has Errol Spence fought that could punch more than, I don't know, 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10? Who has he fought? Seriously. What's the biggest puncher Errol Spence has ever faced? Leonard Bundu?
Matt, who's the biggest punch?
I know what this argument is going for, and he thinks that he has.
No, it's a real question. Who's the biggest puncher he's ever faced?
Nobody that's of note. You know, nobody that's a really big puncher. So why does it matter? He hasn't fought a big puncher, so it's not like.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. But I think
it doesn't matter to ask that question because he hasn't fought a big puncher, period. That's what I'm saying.
So to assume that Errol Spence would steamroll Cal Brook and that Cal Brook is afraid because he didn't get steamrolled, I think is a little short-sighted. I think you're overestimating.
Yeah, that's an opinion. It's not like it's a fact, but it's like your opinion, man. Like, that's what this whole show is.
Right, but again, I think that people, I think, are overestimating Spence, Spence
technically is almost flawless in what he does. He is perfect in what he
he's
does.
He's technically flawless
in what he does. It's near flawless. It's so
I think,
clean.
I think his
head movement's not great, but what he does, he's excellent.
Exactly.
At. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, he's an excellent offensive fighter, but again, it's the same thing why people have questions about certain fighters who steamroll other guys. It's, can you take a punch and do you have good head movement when, you know, are you able to adjust? And I think those things are yet to be seen. So to assume that Errol Spence is scaring Cal Brook, I think is a little incorrect. Although I do agree that Cal Brook is being a bit cunty with the belt situation. So that's my opinion.
All right, we got some other callers. 347, first time caller.
What's good?
Who's this?
Yo.
H Money, first time calling in?
Yo, hello? Yeah, first time calling in, man. H Money, Brooklyn Sports, man.
One moment, brother. Let's give you the first time caller intro.
Yes, get excited. Get excited about this.
Yo, how long you been listening?
I've been listening for a while, man. I was hitting you up on Facebook one day too, man.
Oh man, your call is a little back. Could you get by a window or something? What you on the phone? What are you working with over there?
You hear me now?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna go ahead and play this first time caller intro. You go ahead and introduce yourself to us and all the listeners. All right, brother.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Yeah, I'm good now. You hear me?
We hear you and the radio in the back. You need to turn that radio off.
I turned it off. I turned it off. Yeah.
All right. So, what's your name?
It's H Money Brooklyn Sports, man.
H Money Brooklyn Sports. Talk to us.
I got a question, man. Like, all right. So they saying like who Errol Spence fought, right? Who Kell Brooks fought? His 37 fights. He got 37 fights. Two names.
Sean Porter.
He's been fighting dudes with over 100 losses on his resume. Kell Brooks really didn't do nothing either at welterweight.
My Sean Porter.
I'm trying to set up a fight with Manny Pacquiao. Sean Porter, bro.
Sean Porter.
On his resume, he beat Sean Porter. He beat, listen. He fought a dude named Ernie Smith 3 times. Dude had over 80 losses. Took him 12 rounds to beat the dude. He fought another dude named something Peter.
had over 189 losses on his resume, beat him by points. Kell Brook is not that good. And he was chasing Amir Khan. Amir Khan been a junior welterweight, a lightweight, and he was trying to fight Amir Khan when Amir Khan was two weight classes below him at the time. Kell Brook's been at, what, welterweight since 2004? And he haven't done nothing at welterweight before Sean Porter and then sold his O. Then he told me he was ready to fight Manny Pacquiao in April. As soon as Manny Pacquiao want to fight Jeff Horn, now he needs another extension. So what's really wrong with that eye if he can fight Manny Pacquiao in April? Why you need another extension? To the brother that said Kell Brook's for Sean Porter.
Listen, I agree some of the things you're saying, but again, why are you disrespecting the Sean Porter win? Was it not a good win? Was that not impressive? Sean Porter was undefeated.
It's just a limited amount of fights.
That win is better than anything Amir Khan's done at welterweight by light years.
I went with Kell Brook over Sean Porter. I knew he was going to beat Sean Porter. To me, Sean Porter is like a football player boxer, man. He's one-dimensional to me.
But it's tough to beat him. I know that, but it's tough to beat him because he is relentless and he's a cardio machine.
Mm-hmm. Tough to beat who?
Sean Porter.
Hello?
Yeah, it's tough to beat Sean Porter. Keith Thurman had a tougher time than I thought he would against Sean Porter.
If you got a jab, you could beat Sean Porter. If you got a jab, you're a good boxer, you could beat Sean Porter. And Kell Brook is a good boxer. That's why he beat Sean Porter. Sean Porter's not all that.
I think Devin Alexander has a jab.
Devin Alexander, but he wasn't even strong enough. Yeah. Sean Porter overpowered him that whole – I was at that fight at the Barclays Center. He overpowered him that whole fight. Yeah, that whole fight. But my point is Kell Brooks ain't ready for Errol Spence. He's ducking the dude. He's willing to fight anybody else at 147 but the dude. Anytime he mentioned Errol Spence's name, either going to move up to 154 or ain't enough money. I feel he ain't do nothing to get a shot at Sean Porter, Kell Brooks. I'm just going to leave it like that, man. Yeah. My point is Kell Brooks going to vacate that title. We ain't going to see him fight Errol Spence, which I think.
I think it's possible.
It's possible, but I think I think Sean Porter looks ugly in some of his wins, and he always makes an ugly fight. But I think that you guys really are underestimating the difficulties people have when they get in the ring with him. I mean, I rate Keith Thurman very highly, and he brought Keith.
Kell Brook has a Deontay Wilder record, one win and a bunch of bums on it.
But that one, oh my God, that one win is better than anything Deontay Wilder's done his entire fucking career. That's better than a. You're going to tell me that that's the equivalent of Stavern?
Yeah.
That
Matt, who is Porter beat?
You're taking L's.
Who is Porter beat?
Who is Porter beat? Adrian Broner, Devin Alexander.
140 pounder. A 140 pounder.
Yeah, this is why this fight is supposed to happen.
He was in Keith Thurman. He was with Keith Thurman in a fight of the year, and he showed that he belonged in the ring with, I think, a top one or two welterweight on earth. You know what I'm saying? I think Kell Brook's the best welterweight on earth still. And you could call me a hater for that. But he, until he's beat by another welterweight, he looks like the best. Even I think I would even slightly favor him versus Keith Thurman. Maybe.
My point is I want to see Errol Spence fight somebody so we can see if he really got the goods. And nobody want to fight him to see if he got the goods or not. That's what I want to see. I want to see him fight one of the best to see if he really that good. And nobody want to test the kid. Nobody want to test that boy.
Yeah. H-Money from
Brooklyn. He also doesn't want VADA testing either, but nobody needs to bring that up.
For calling in, brother. We got to get to some other calls. We're trying to cut this one short. We got a bunch of breaking news to get to. We're going to go to another first-time caller here. Where are you calling in from on Skype, my friend? What's your name?
My name's Wesley.
Wesley in the chat?
Yeah.
Wesley, where are you calling in from?
UK, man.
UK, nice. What's going on, brother?
In regards to the Kell Brook-Khan fight, I do think Kell Brook is obviously, he's willing to fight anybody, really.
Kell Brook is willing to fight anybody, you're saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you're going based off the fact that he fought Triple G.
I mean, look.
You're saying if the money's right, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's proven he'll fight anybody if the money's right. He's not willing to fight anybody.
If the
Money's right. Yeah, I mean, the fact is, if Khan's saying that he thinks that Kell Brook's going to be an easy fight for him, then fight the guy. Then he's saying, oh, that Kell Brook could fight somebody who fought Triple G. Now he's still ducking him.
I hear you. I don't know.
Ignoring mandatories when you should fight your mandatory is a bad look. So I think it is, no matter what, a bad look. And if he doesn't fight Amir Khan and doesn't fight Pacquiao, then he has no belt and he drops it. And it's a duck. If he drops the belt, doesn't fight him, stays at 147, it's a duck. Now, if he says he can't move up to one, I don't think he could fight at 147 anymore. Anyways,
I don't think he can as well.
So, I just don't know what they're doing. But I still, like I said, I think people are, because they want Errol Spence to get a shot so badly, they devaluate Sean Porter so much to make, you know, I don't know.
I do think he should fight Errol Spence. I'm not gonna lie to you. Let's be honest. Joe Jordan and Frankie Vizier, they're not fights. They won't fight. That's a kill.
Wesley, let me ask you, how long have you listened to the show?
Like a few months now, like 4 months now.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I do think, let's be honest, I do think the fight should happen. And if it's not going to happen, I do think Kell Brook should fight Errol Spence. Because I do think it's going to be a great fight. And I think Errol Spence is a good guy to fight. Because he hasn't fought nobody, but at the end of the day, but if he steps up and fights Kell Brook, I think he can beat him, yeah.
60 seconds.
Well, Wesley, let me get to some other callers. As you can hear, we're running out of time here. We're going to Javier in Anaheim.
Yo, what's up, Ness? You know, the caller before this last one, he broke down the records and compared them to being very, very similar. However, when you put all things together, okay, their records are similar. But the question is, at least what we do know about Kell Brook is he's fought a pressure puncher and a hard puncher. We know he can take the punch, even though, what's his name again? The other kid, I forget his name, the one that, anyway, I think you know what I'm talking about. His style is very aesthetically pleasing, but I mean, we really don't know whether he's never really fought a fighter where you say, oh, this guy's going to bring it to him. You know what I mean? So I think he's
10 seconds.
You're talking about Spence, right? Just to clarify so the callers should follow.
Yeah, exactly. What's it called? He looks nice and everything. He looks like he's a real deal, but I mean, we haven't seen him against a Sean Porter, against a Kell Brook. So you still have that question mark. Even though I think he might win, people are acting like it's a given, like he's going to beat Kell Brook. And it's just not. It's not a given. You know, that's pretty much all I had to say. Can I just tell you one more thing, Ness?
Sure.
I wanted to give a shout out to my brother, Mikey. He gets on that Muncie sound. I forget what it's called. It's been a while since I've called in. New Year's Eve, he told me, he's like, oh, look at all the stuff you've been missing because you haven't signed up for this, right? Well, as I was going to take a look, he didn't want to let me see it. He's that loyal to the show. He's like, nah, man. He's like, you got to pay. You got to pay to see this shit. And I guess I just want to give him a shout out because he's always buying shirts. He's the one that gets me all my equipment and stuff like that. So I want to give him a shout out, man. He's always supporting the show.
Oh man, that's amazing, so, yeah. Man. Thank you so much. You said his name's Mikey?
Yeah, Big Mike.
Oh,
he call in every now and then, but he okay.
Oh man, yeah. We gotta see. I don't remember him calling in. Maybe we got him down under something
no,
else.
No, he usually doesn't call in, but what's it called? He's always on the show. Like I said, he pays for all this extra content you have. And when he's like, oh, this is what you've been missing. And he was going to show me the phone, and he just clicks it off. He's like, nah, dog. He's like, you got to pay. He's like, some fools to be giving like some people only give $1 and shit, but he gives more than that. That's what he was telling me. He's like, I know some guys only give $1 or so. But yeah, man, I just wanted to give him a shout out, though.
Thank you, Javier.
So you guys have a good day, man.
All right. You too, man. So now you know, bro. You know you're missing out. You got to sign up, man. I'll be excited to see your sign up on Patreon as well. And remember, everybody can head on over to Patreon. We're going to be doing another review. We just got a recommendation from one of our Patreon family. They want us to do the Gennady Golovkin and Kell Brook fight. I know something that's going to make MD happy, but we're still, you know, desperately trying to find a good 1080p link for Keith Thurman versus Diego Chavez. So if anyone can help us, definitely contact us on all forms of social media if you can get that fight. That is one of the fights that we want to do.
Steven Espinoza of Showtime, you could send us a private link if you know, if you're listening.
Yeah, Steven should, you know. Let's get to Jarvis. Talk to me.
Hey, what up? How y'all doing? I got a question for you, Des, real quick. How come people always say, I personally feel like Kell Brook is.
We hear you, Jarvis.
Okay. I personally feel like Kell Brook is a duck in narrow space. I mean, he backed up in the corner. I look at if he relinquishes his belt, that's a duck. And if he fight Kell Brook, it's a duck for the super fact he's forced to fight him. You know what I'm saying? Because he really ain't got no options on the table right now. And he can't back down and fight, you know, no-name fighters. But with Errol Spinks, how can he fight somebody that's relevant if nobody want to fight him?
He's doing what he's got to do, Jarvis. The only thing he could do is get in line in, as a mandatory and wait for his, position. Hey, Jarvis, where are you calling in from exactly? Where's 832? Is that California?
No, it's Houston,
Texas. Thank you.
MP, you got something to say?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I have to say is it's interesting how Floyd Mayweather says everybody's ducking Errol Spence, right? Yet he chose to fight Andre Berto his last fight. So he didn't give another young hungry man the fight. So he's a little hypocritical with that. But I agree that Errol Spence is a risky fight because he is a dangerous offensive fighter. But at the end of the day, Leonard Bundy was landing some pretty clean flush punches on Errol Spence, and it wasn't until he landed that hammer that, you know, he was out of danger. So I think you guys need to be a little reserved in how good you rate Errol Spence, because his chin is not proven at all.
But you know what, MD, real quick, Kell Brook is a talent. I really think he would do better than what I don't think he got confidence in himself, bro. I think he would do better against Errol Spence than what he gives himself credit for. But I think he looking like a fighter don't have confidence in himself.
I hear you. I hear you.
For the payday. So whatever big name that he gets, what'd you say?
No, I hear you. He has like extremely mesmerizing offensive game.
Well, I appreciate y'all for accepting my call, man. Thank you, MD. Thank you, Ness. I'm about to get back to work. I'm at work right now.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling in. Jarvis, as always, we appreciate it. Jarvis calling all the way in Texas.
Yo, why doesn't Al, if fight can't get made, feed Andre Berto to Errol Spence, right?
Because why does Errol Spence want to go the Berto route when there's no belt that way?
I know. Let's
some Skype here. We got Jabron. Where are you calling in from?
Hey, hello. Can you hear me, Ness?
Loud and clear, brother.
Yeah, I'm calling from the UK.
This is not your first time calling in, because I've seen our...
I've called in before. Once before, a few months ago.
Okay, what's going on, brother? So talk to me. David, could you mute yourself there while we take care of Jabron first?
Yeah, I just want to say that I will be signing on to Patreon as well soon, so watch out for that. And I just want to say regarding this Kell Brook American situation is I want to start off by some facts, which MD likes. So Kell Brook's been a pro for 13 years at the same weight of welterweight, and he's only got one notable win in Sean Porter. I mean, if you ask me, that's terrible. You've been 13 years a pro at the same weight, and you have one world-class win, which was a sort of a boring fight, and you won by clinching, and it was a close fight as well. Right? And then Amir Khan's very first fight at welterweight, and his first win was Louis Clazo, which would be classed as Kell Brook's second best ever win, if he got that weight. and of his career.
Nah, Carson Jones.
70?
I go, nah, Carson Jones. Go ahead, caller. I said I was fucking with the
Carson. Carson Jones could be his second best win.
I would disagree with that.
Of course, so would I.
I mean, if you look at Khan's resume at welterweight alone, his was it three or four fights that he's had.
We get it, but that chin, man, that chin.
But he's establishing A side.
I'm talking about how pathetic a boxer is. 13 years, that's the same way. He's got one notable win, and he's riding off of that win like several years after that win. It's absolutely pathetic. And how he has fans who support him for these years, I don't know. Okay, and then so Brook fights Jojo Dan, Kevin Bisier, and Frankie Gavin. And he has actually no problem with how big or small their names are. But when it comes to Errol Spence, a legitimate threat, which all of us boxing fans knew that he would try to duck, then it all of a sudden it becomes about his how big of a name Errol Spence is or how much money he brings in. When that wasn't an issue for the other three mandatories, which he happily fought.
Queen Khan getting it.
Yeah, another thing, I actually agree with a lot of what MD says on the show. However, he's a hypocrite because he shits on Wilder for having a notable win, whereas with Cal Brook, he's literally dick-riding him.
That win is the equivalent of, like, beating, I don't know.
And he also has Chris Areola, Artur Spilka, like, at least somewhat more credible names than fucking Jojo Dan and Kevin
Artur Spilka?
Artur Spilka is better than Jojo Dan and Kevin Bisier, hands fucking down.
What?
Hands down.
Is he, though?
Yes. To Wilder.
Hey, Jabron, this is an amazing call, man. Whenever you get in the city, bro, you never know, man. You might get an award, man. That's
listen, I'm not doing it to shit. I agree.
Got MD all up on
one
him.
Second. I agree. One second. I agree. I agree 100% that Cal Brook has had a disappointing career.
I think the most likely outcome would be that Cal Brook would knock out Amir Khan. So I'm not, like, decrying Khan or anything. I'm just stating facts.
Yeah, but is it crazy to assume to give a slight edge to Kell Brook versus Errol Spence? Because that's what I would do.
Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the record and having one win, and you shit on Deontay Wilder for having one win when that seems very hypocritical. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Kell Brook and Errol Spence and who be two. That's a separate topic.
Remember when you said you don't forget anything? Neither do the callers.
Right, but at the end of the day, Bermain Stervern is not anywhere near as good of a win as Sean Porter.
You heard him. He said Kell Brook already had a trilogy in his career.
He's already had a trilogy with some bum, which he beat on points every time. Sums up Kell Brook.
Are you an Amir Khan fan? Is that why you're thinking?
Let me get to. No, he said Kell Brook would be.
Take your L, MD. Take your L. It's okay.
Well, because Amir Khan has a trilogy with a piece of tissue.
You got to let it go. Great call, man. Way to take MD to the ropes.
I'm talking to you a lot. And MD, I agree with you a lot of times, but...
Nah, all right, man. Yeah, listen, difference of opinions. We could agree to disagree.
Wilder and praising Colbert for the exact same thing. That's wrong, bro. You should be consistent.
Jabron, let me get to some other callers, brother. Thank you for calling in. We're going to go
But one thing, but one second. I just wanted to know, did I not say that Kell Brook was being cunty with how he's treating the belt?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if...
Yeah, so you're dick riding him a lot though today. Before I let you know,
I'm not.
Jabron. Good call, MD. They had you on the roads. We're gonna go out to another international call. David, is this your first time calling in? Where are you calling in from?
It is. Yeah. Hi, I'm calling from London.
London. How long have you been listening?
Probably a couple of months. I've sort of just managed to miss your shows where not being able to call in.
Well, we're gonna give you this first time caller. We're going to give you this first time caller intro and have you introduce yourself so that we don't get hand wraps mad again. All right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
David from London. There you go.
There you go.
I want to, just before I forget what I was going to say, I massively disagree with the previous caller. I could not disagree more. To really understand the history of Amir Khan and Kell Brook, you have to go... They go back. They used to spar in the amateurs, and as soon as Amir Khan got a little bit of fame and was sort of a name, and Kell Brook started calling him out. This is going back like 8-9 years ago. Amir Khan, you say, oh, I used to, the coaches used to tell me to go on him easy in sparring because I used to beat him up so bad and stuff like that. So he's always disrespected Kell Brook for, I don't know, nearly probably 10 years. That's how long it goes back, this beef between them. So, this is extremely personal for Kell Brook. It's not that he doesn't want to, I think he wants to, he wants to fight Errol Spence eventually and prove that he wants, you know, prove he's the best at 147. But if the opportunity to fight Amir Khan's there, considering how many times he's ducked him over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years when this fight has been talked about and could have been made, and now he's sort of managed to swerve out the way of it. If you know, the chance could be made now, then Kell Brook, you know, is willing to give up his title to fight Amir Khan. So that's kind of my main point. And I think he'll fight Errol Spence now that Khan has basically, you know, ducked him. So
I don't think anyone disagrees with what you're saying. I just don't know how that goes against what the last caller said.
He hasn't officially ducked Spence yet, though.
No, I'm not saying he's going to.
That's what I'm saying. Until he drops the belt and officially ducks Spence,
yeah,
not a ducker.
Yeah. I guess the previous caller was saying, you know, Amir, I think he was trying to point that out. Maybe it was a previous caller heard that Amir Khan's the A side. Amir Khan hasn't fought in the UK at all for, you know, probably 4 or 5 years. And Kell Brook's been fighting on Sky pretty much every single, other than the last one was on pay-per-view. He's been fighting on, you know, normal Sky, which, you know, if you've got a Sky subscription, which has got like, I don't know, 3 or 4 million, I guess, probably subscribers, you know, people know who Kell Brook is. And I'd say Amir Khan and Kell Brook behind probably Fury and Joshua, they're probably the next two kind of highest names in the UK. So I would say that's why it's, you know, potentially such a big fight. And I would probably say Amir just about shades in terms of he should probably just deserve a little bit more of the split just because he is more of a household name because he got the silver medal at 17. But, yeah.
Great call, David. Man, listen, we want to hear you calling back, man. We've been doing a lot of more daytime shows for us, so they're evening shows for you UK guys. We want to thank everyone that did call in. We're going to wrap this one up. It's been a great show. I don't know if the co-hosts are going to have time. This one went a little longer than expected. We're running around here about 2 hours mark here. So it's supposed to be just a quick announcement and discussing it. But obviously, it was a great show. I want to thank everyone again. And make sure you hit that thumbs up button. You could do that in future, present, and past. It doesn't matter. It helps with the visibility of the show. Drop us a 5-star review on iTunes and have it read here live on the show. Get credit for that 5-star review, man. Hit us up on iTunes without a doubt. We'll be back again if my co-hosts are available. We are looking to come immediately back. So you want to subscribe to us here on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blog Talk, or YouTube to get that notification because we're more than likely be back with some breaking news. People are already talking about on all forms of social media, and we might as well open up the platform and allow the people to have their voice. Listen, I am your host, Nesta Gibbs. You can find me absolutely right here, but you can also check me out on Instagram and Twitter at NesGTO, and you can check out my co-hosts.
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
And you can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter and my All Combat Sport podcast covering MMA, kickboxing, everything. We may do a pro wrestling one as well with Jory from Indiana. You can find that at Mixed Combat Radio on Patreon, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, etc.
Oh, my God. I forgot to plug my cooking show.
What an asshole, yo. You're such a meanie.
Hey, no, MD's just upset because he took a lot of L's on this show. Yeah, it's okay. Icy hot for that burn. It's okay, brother. It's okay.
Yeah, he was doing all his own little rope-a-dopes there.
It's all right. I'll live, you know.
Yo, that was a deep shot, MD.
Call me now.
It's messed up, man. Yo, we're out. We'll be back, hopefully. MD and Matt have time later.